All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do lift Tony up to you. We pray that you would bring him back to us safely and rested and restful and ready to go back to work, Lord. We pray for his schedule, that you would iron that out so that he could be here Sundays and maybe even include a Wednesday again at some point, Father. Lord, and with what's happened this week, Father, we just cry out to you as your people. We desperately need your help as a nation and as a people. This entire world is seemingly coming unglued, Father, right before our eyes. And so we pray, Father, we pray for our country, our state, even our community. We pray for officers, firefighters, and all those who provide public safety and service, Lord. We pray that you would bless them and protect them. Give our leaders wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to guide through this time. And Lord, by your Spirit, may they be directed into righteousness, righteous decisions, Lord. And may you just fill each one of us with grace and mercy for each other, that we would be just like Christ, offering mercy and grace in the gospel message. May we be the lights that you have called us to be, especially in this dark time. May your gospel message get out, and may it impact all those that you have for to be impacted by it, Lord. Please bless your message now, Lord. Please give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to us in this hour. And we speak this in Jesus' name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, yeah, we've had a pretty tough time, not just this week, but the entire year has been a pretty tough year. And we are going to consider one of the disciples this morning, but at the very end. So my title is A Lesson from Simon the Zealot, okay? But we're not going to get to him till the very end, and it's going to be pretty short because we do have communion today, so... But what I want to discuss and present to you today is how late the hour is getting. We see the prophetic times in front of us and how it's been just like Jesus said it would be at the very end. It's coming in like a flood. It's like you can't keep up with what's going on. And I've been talking about this, you know, the last several times I've been teaching. I've been talking about Bible prophecy and stuff, and we're going to look at it a little bit today. But I do want to focus a little bit in, and none of this is going to be in depth, by the way. We're just going to gloss over the issues, so you know, feel free to study it more. But you remember Jerry Bishop, right? You remember what he used to always say? One day closer. And I mean, we are getting closer and closer. So keep that in mind as we go through these times, and just be there for one another. Show kindness to one another, and those who don't, you know, you don't even know. That's something I've been kind of thinking and focusing on in my walk is just to look for opportunities to just be kind to somebody, helpful, you know, lift the load for somebody, make it easier for them. So maybe you can grab a hold of that as well. We're going to be looking at some signs of the end times. We're going to be looking at lawlessness, our citizenship in heaven, which is what I want to remind each one of us that believe on Christ, where our citizenship is at, okay? And again, we want to look in the very end at an example of Simon the Zealot. So let's jump in. My first verse, and we're going to have some verses up here for you to look at. 1 John 2:18, it says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." And boy, we're in the last seconds, I really believe, before the rapture of the church and the revelation of the Antichrist. And in case you don't know the sequence of the last days, the rapture of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is to be taken to heaven for the marriage consummation. We'll be away for 7 years, and then we come back to earth with Jesus Christ to rule and reign. And that's when we should expect justice and peace, is not till then, okay? And it's only going to get worse before it gets better, all right? So the Antichrist is coming, though. Unfortunately, we're going to miss this guy, okay? In fact, it's the Holy Spirit that indwells the church, is what's restraining him. And if you noticed, if you looked at this week and saw the news, it's like that restraining power is being moved out of the way. It seems like the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well, and that we're very close to the revealing of the Antichrist. Of course, we're not going to see him, but the world's going to experience him. So for them, it's judgment, and it's just more bad news. And it escalates even to the end. Jesus described it as a time like no other. Okay, so we need to be praying, and we need to be doing the work of the Lord. So there are two late signs that I want to highlight in this study. And again, I mentioned them. And one is one is lawlessness, and the other is the mark of the Antichrist. Okay, and in John Revelation, I think it's 13, and we'll get to that verse here in a second, Jan. But John wrote in Revelation over 2,000 years ago about the sort of technology that the Antichrist would have available to him in the last days. And it used to be just on the horizon. You remember when we first started getting those codes on all the products you buy at the store, and everybody thought, oh, that's the mark of the beast and all that. Well, there is technology that's been discussed openly in the news as recently because of the COVID-19 situation that the globalists want to initiate, which is exactly the same route or the same technology that the Antichrist will be using. Okay. Now, all of you heard by now the plan of giving a vaccine and along with that a mark, essentially to ensure that all travelers and people are safe and that their vaccinations are up to date and so on. And I don't believe for a second that that's the mark of the beast, but the technology is exactly the same. Okay, so if we see it bantered about in the media today like it's just the best thing in the world, you know, you can imagine how close the Antichrist is from being able to come on the scene and be able to tap into that technology. And in Revelation 13:16, it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast and the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, by now, a lot of you have also probably heard about Bill Gates' patent number. If you haven't, there's a little blurb I found on the internet. It talks about this patent. It's a world patent, by the way. It's not just for the United States. But interestingly enough, they give a number to this patent for his vaccination and all that, which the number that was received was WO, meaning World, and I would imagine World Organization maybe, 2020-060606. Okay. Now, we don't know if he selected that number or it just happened that way. Maybe he chose it to offend us or scare us or whatever. It doesn't really matter, but it's pretty interesting information. And this patent application was filed by Microsoft Technology, headed up by Bill Gates. He's since, I guess, left Microsoft officially. But this occurred back on June 20th in 2019, working on this, and became effective for the world April 20 of this year, April 2020. So that technology that the Antichrist is going to tap into is here and now. So that's how late it's getting. And so if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't waste another minute. Don't waste another second, because the time is very, very close. The clock's ticking, okay? And for John, he said that we were in the last hour. That was 2,000 years ago. How much closer are we to the Antichrist now? Now, I don't believe for a second that Bill Gates is the Antichrist. But the arrival of the one who will use his technology is extremely close. It is very late in God's prophetic plan. And it's not a time for us to just put our feet up on the coffee table and coast through this this exercise. We have a mission and a role, and we'll get to that. So let's look at Matthew 24 for another late sign that I think that we just experienced this week. Matthew 24, starting in verse 8, and if you remember, the disciples had come to Jesus and said, you know, they talked about and showed Jesus the temple and how massive and wonderful it was, and Jesus said, you know what, every stone's going to be knocked down. And that freaked them out because it was a massive structure. In fact, it took 44 years, I believe, for its construction to be completed, and then it wasn't around very much long after that when the prophecy came that Jesus gave them. But it rattled the disciples, and so they wanted to know, what's the sign of your coming? What's the sign of the last days? So Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, and starting in verse 4, that no one deceives you, okay? Deception. And deception is going on like crazy right now. You can't get a straight answer about COVID-19 or anything from the media. You can't trust anybody, what they're saying. The only thing you can trust is the Bible, okay? He says in verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You see, those are early, early signs of the last days. We've had World War I, World War II, there's rumors of wars almost every day in the news. But if you remember, World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars. Well, it didn't do that. Okay, so, and Jesus said, but the end is not yet. And here are the signs, okay? For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, which can be rendered plagues, and earthquakes in various places. Today, I'll get to that in a minute. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. In other words, it's just the tip of the iceberg. The rest is still ahead. The worst of it is still to come. This is just the beginning of it. Now, when he used the word here, nation shall rise against nation, if you look at it in the Greek, the word is ethnos versus ethnos. Ethnos is where we get our word ethnic. Okay? So ethnic group versus ethnic group, and that's exactly what we saw this week, what we've been seeing for the last several years, but it's intensifying. It's getting more disgusting, actually. And of course, where it says kingdom against kingdom, you know, obviously that's talking about sovereignties, nations, but also the kingdom of Satan coming against the kingdom of God. And there will be famines and so on. I just read this morning, I read Rapture Ready News every morning, and it has links to prophetic news events that's happened. I try to pick up and stay up on top of that. Just today, this is all just today. Worst of locust swarms yet to come in many areas. If you don't know this, in Africa and I believe in Asia right now, or East Asia, that locusts are swarming at a biblical scale. It's amazing to see and horrible, because what that's going to lead to is famines and pestilence. Okay, another article about another place, and this one's in East Africa, says locust swarms put almost 5 million people at risk of hunger and famine. Okay. Another, a different news article, new biblical locust plague sees huge swarm devastate Pakistan. 25 million face famine. And then, of course, droughts and whatnot. Right now, I believe it's in the Great Plains they're experiencing. Oklahoma, the panhandle there, they're experiencing one of the worst droughts, which is really close to the food belt here, which will lead to possibly food shortages even here. So, I mean, all of this stuff is just like piling on top of one another. And again, I said as before that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that this is just the beginning of sorrows. So if you don't know Christ, for you, the promise is it's going to get much worse, and there's no guarantees of surviving the seven-year tribulation. So time's a-wasting. You need to get right with the Lord. pestilences and plagues. Of course, we have COVID-19, Ebola, and many other things that are coming. They just released a bunch of mosquitoes, I guess, the other day here in the United States to impact or try to keep the dengue or fever away and several other diseases that result from mosquitoes. Just this, I guess last night or early this morning, there was a 6.2 magnitude earthquake that hit Kazakhstan. And so all the signs, I mean, it's just, this is the newspaper, but yet it reads exactly like Matthew 24. So we're getting extremely close to the rapture, and especially the revelation of the Antichrist. So we need to be about the Lord's business. Now, how bad could it be? Is there anything else to look for? Well, we saw it this week. Matthew 4:12, if you drop down to there, and Jesus mentioned, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Okay? That's what we experienced this week. What we saw was lawlessness. Now, lawlessness defined in this case is the state of being or behaving in open defiance to the law. That's what lawlessness means. Okay? And it's not just happening here in the United States. It's happening worldwide. Okay, Australia's have been having riots. Italy, Lebanon, all over the world. It's like literally the world's coming unglued. And what we're seeing is essentially, again, the restrainer. I think the Holy Spirit is getting ready to step aside and let things happen, and let judgment come. But what we saw this week is the spirit of Antichrist. Working. It's alive and well and thriving, by the way. And so now if you would turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, and 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll just pick it up in verse 1. And Paul writes, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," and again, this is not going to be in-depth. I'm not going to break this all down for you guys, but we are going to read quite a bit here. About the coming of the Lord Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or word or letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. Again, there's that word deception. Okay, we're in the age of deception. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. The coming of the lawless one, that's his title, or one of his titles, is according to the working of Satan. What you saw this week was the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, those who are dying. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. What truth? The truth that Jesus Christ died for their sins. That's the truth. Okay? That they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that last word there, unrighteousness, in the Greek, means failure to adhere to moral principles, commands, or law. Again, it is just lawlessness, okay? And I saw pictures, and I'm sure you did too, of looters just enjoying themselves as they were going about burning down and destroying property and harming and doing all the things that they did. So the time is late. That is a late sign that lawlessness would abound. So... And we need to understand that the mystery of lawlessness has been working for 2,000 years. It's all getting ready for the crescendo of the Antichrist to come to the forefront of history. He cannot come until the Holy Spirit is removed out of his way, the restrainer, which indwells the church. Okay? Now, if he's been active for 2,000 years, he's probably got a pretty good plan in place, I would imagine. So, and when you look at what the globalists have been achieving throughout the last months, it's almost like, you know, I thought about this, that picture of Jesus. You remember when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and a sudden storm came up and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat and his disciples start to cower, become cowards and fearful. And they woke him up, and then immediately the storm got calm. But it appears to some of us that it's like, Lord, where are you in all of this? You know, well, you know what? He's still on the throne. He's got a plan and a whole prophetic plan laid out. It's going according to plan. Okay, we just need to keep trusting and resting in him through this time and keep looking up, because he told us to be watching, be ready. Okay? So the Antichrist, again, the man of lawlessness, is going to be the tip of the spear, so to speak, in the coming days. And it's just going to get worse and worse. And you might say, well, you know what? I was thinking about this. I keep seeing that slogan, defund the police. I mean, is there not more of an Antichrist message than that, to get rid of all laws? I mean, that would just be absolute anarchy, which is exactly what he wants, okay? He wants chaos. Satan wants chaos. And we saw a lot of that this week. Now, some of you might say, well, wait a second, you know, there was peaceful demonstrations, but was that the end result of all of those demonstrations? It was hard to find a peaceful demonstration. They might have been peaceful for a period of time in one 24-hour period, but all hell broke loose as soon as it got dark, or right after they delivered the bricks to throw through windows and at cops. So, and, you know, by the way, those who are marching in peace, right alongside a lot of those folks is those who are looking for opportunities to create lawless behavior, okay? So the enemy is actually using the true peaceful ones to hide until the right time, okay? And then he breaks out and all kinds of stuff break loose. And those are all the workings of Satan, to hide amongst the peaceful, a wolf among sheep, right? And then suddenly damage is done. It's the working of Satan. It's exactly how he works. I even saw people with Christian messages on their t-shirts as they're walking down the street peacefully protesting. And I often wonder, how could you be a partner to the potential of something happening evil? All right? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can a Christian be a part of a situation that will likely turn bad? You'd better pray hard if you're going to be a part of one of these groups, because the reality is there's going to be wolves among the sheep. You need to be extremely careful. And the answer to that question is no, they can't walk together. They oppose one another. Now in Exodus 23:1-3, it says, now this is, I know it's according to the law, and we're not under law, but this is also, remember, the law is love. It's perfection, right? The law only came to prove us that we were imperfect. But God told Moses, he says, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. Well, you might say, you know, I wasn't going to do evil. But you know what? The enemy, again, is like a wolf. He hides. He looks for those opportunities to be among the sheep so that he can do his work. And you know what? If you're going to be a part of that, you better pray really hard. Because you know what? CNN is going to have a video of you standing next to someone who's destroying property and under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. Do you really want to be that close to somebody under that spirit? And that's usually what happens when you have large groups that get together in the, with this emotional high-rise, so to speak, that's happening amongst the people. You cannot guarantee, Christian, that it's not going to turn out well or turn out well. Okay? So be very careful. And don't forget, we're in a war. And it's not against flesh and blood. It's against spirits and principalities and demons. Why would you want to be a part of that? There's other ways to affect change. And we'll talk about just a little bit of that. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." Why would you get involved in something that could turn potentially ugly and satanic as a member of the body of Christ and being the temple of God? You got to be very careful to be a part of this stuff. And again, there are other ways. We have a system in place, and people don't like the system. They want justice now. Well, you know what? If the Lord gave me justice now, I'd probably really regret it, right? Because his justice is perfect. And we should never really, in this, we live in the kingdom that belongs to Satan right now, and should we ever expect any kind of justice or peace? You know, so the only peace that you can have is having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So someone might ask, well, isn't it the church's responsibility to fix social and racial injustice? Well, let me remind you, first off, before I get there, that again, our citizenship, Philippians 3:20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we're a member of a different kingdom. We're just passing through here, okay? And Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3 through 4. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier, who is Jesus Christ. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. You're of his kingdom now. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're on a different program, and you can affect change without having to go walk amongst a bunch of wolves." Okay? And part of this is God's judgment and mercy, too, by the way, because hopefully this will drive many to Christ. I have a feeling it's not going to, but the potential is there. But this whole situation is a judgment. If you remember, Israel, at the time of Jesus, was under Roman occupation. That was a part of their judgment for being disobedient to God. Okay? So, you know, we need to be careful about how we engage this situation. Now, many of you probably know this, but in Jesus' day, there was many examples of social injustice and racial injustice. Okay, again, the Romans literally had their swords at the neck of the Jews. They didn't have a problem with executing the Jews at all. Okay, and yet, during Jesus' ministry, you never see him engaging in the politics of the day, of the injustices of that time. That's because he had a mission, and you and I have a mission and a goal. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to pull him into some of the politics, but he didn't play that silly game, and neither should we. And I wonder sometimes that if our conversations, if we only ever just talk about politics and we never talk about the kingdom of God, what use are we for the kingdom of God? We need to be, in these last days, we need to be careful about everything that we say, because we're going to be measured at some point for everything that we're, every word that we utter. But are you more about discussing politics at the local barbershop, sitting around with a bunch of guys? Or are you about talking about the kingdom of God and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ and his shed blood for each one of us? Which kingdom are you talking more about? Which kingdom are you more invested in? Think about what you're saying and who you're saying it to. And watch out for the conversations you get tied up, because every moment's starting to count. Every single moment is becoming important when you encounter non-believers or unbelievers. Think about that. And there was, you know, Roman occupation for over 100 plus years. In fact, the historian Josephus wrote all about the wars of the Jews, and it was basically about their defending their homeland, essentially. And not only did the Jews have to worry about the Romans, but they had people like Herod the Great to deal with, who, if you remember, killed a bunch of Jewish babies, okay, slaughtered a whole village or villages. So there was plenty of racial injustice happening at the time of Jesus, and he did not get bogged down in the details there, because he had a mission from the Father, and that was for salvation, okay? So think about that. Now, the Jews' hope, their hope at the time of Christ, was that the Messiah would overthrow the Romans out of their land. That was their hope, but they got it all wrong. They had the focus wrong. Their focus was on the Romans instead of the real Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do right now. As a people, as a nation, as a church, we need to be focused on Jesus Christ and his mission. Okay? So we need to be careful what we get involved in. And only when Jesus sets up his kingdom will there be real peace, real justice. And you know what? Number one, Jesus is the only one who can affect true change in a man's heart. Not laws. Laws only prove we're sinners, right? That's what Paul wrote about. So we shouldn't, again, expect peace and justice at this time under Satan's rule. Now, we have a confident hope that this is all going to change in a real short period of time. Because remember, the Antichrist is only going to be here for 7 years. And then the kingdom starts. And Jesus is the one who's going to be ruler and reigner. And he's going to be doing it along, and we get to do it along with him at that time. We're going to be a part of the program. Okay? Now, right now, Jesus' kingdom and our mission as Christians is not about temporary politics, but eternal salvation. Okay? Again, we don't want to get caught up into issues of this life. They're short. They're not eternal. The things that we need to be caught up into and discuss with unbelievers is the eternal ramifications of not accepting Christ. And the one who can only truly bring peace and justice. Somebody wrote, Jesus Christ transcends political causes, governments, and all earthly turmoil. His kingdom is eternal. He made his disciples of men who had been fixed on the things of this world and changed their lives to focus on things that last forever. How about you? Are you focusing in on the temporary, or are you more focused in on those things that are eternal? That's where our minds and hearts need to be right now, is focused on eternal things, things that last forever. We need to stay focused, especially in this time of deception and lawlessness. We need to stay focused. So my last point here is about Simon the Zealot. I want to shine a little light on this disciple, and there's not much to shine because there's not much information about him. But he was called Simon the Zealot, all right? Now, in that time, in those days, and for even about 100 years later, zealots, they were the terrorists of the day, okay? And Jesus chose this terrorist to be a member of his disciples, of his close-knit 12. Okay? And as a zealot, Simon would have been extremely a Jewish nationalist. He hated the Romans. They killed, they maimed, they wanted to get rid of the Roman occupation by any means. And Simon was a part of that group. Now, you can bet that when Jesus chose Simon, initially, I bet you at every dinner that they had together, he probably wanted to talk about the Romans and those issues of that time and day. But eventually, Jesus got a hold of his heart. I actually suspect that Simon probably went to try to pull Jesus into the movement of the zealots, the terrorists of the day. But his influence was no comparison by the influence of the love of Jesus Christ, which changed his heart. Now, Jesus chose another disciple, Matthew, who was you remember what he did? He was a tax collector for the Romans. He was Jewish. That meant that he was a traitor. He was actually a traitor on two different levels. Can you imagine? Now, this is Jesus. He picks Simon the Zealot and this traitor, and they're eating at the same dinner table. Can you imagine some of the discussions that went on during those times? How heated it might have gotten, probably got. But I bet you know what? Jesus focused their attention on the eternal and not the temporary. And that's what you got to do right now. That's what we need to do. Now, Josephus writes that the zealots, he wrote that they agree in all other things with the Pharisaic notions, but they have an unbreakable attachment to liberty. Okay, Simon's cry was for freedom from the Roman occupation. And yet Jesus knew that the only way he was really truly going to get free was by believing on him. And that is the same today as it was then. That's the focus it needs to be on, is that you want true freedom, you want true peace in every situation, it's Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not about having committees or rioting or doing any of those things. So we need to be careful, and we need to be like Simon the Zealot. Now, over time, the name stuck with him, Zealot. Initially, he was a Jewish nationalist zealot. But you know what? After encountering the love of Jesus, after seeing his death and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit coming on him, he became a zealot for Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his priorities. That's what has to happen to each one of us. Where are your priorities today? Is it about building your kingdom? Is it about getting wrapped up in the things of the kingdom of the world right now? Or are you focused in on eternal things of his kingdom? I hope you take that lesson. Now, there's, again, not much written about Simon, but we do know this. Remember, now, he was a Jewish nationalist, started out that way. Okay? But you know where the only information we really have about him is that he left Israel and became a missionary in Egypt. You see how the change happened? He left behind the temporary and focused on the eternal, okay? And he went out to save men for the kingdom of God. Eventually, they say, and this is church tradition, he eventually was martyred in Persia, and that might be the case. I don't think anybody's really sure on all of that. But you know what? He bought into, after he had encountered Jesus, not just his love, but his resurrection and the Holy Spirit coming on Pentecost. He was there with the 11 at the time when the Holy Spirit came. So he was infilled with the Holy Spirit, and that radically changed his life. He left behind the temporal mission that he had, that he started with, and he took on the permanent, eternal mandate that Jesus Christ gave him. And I'm going to give that to you right now so that you can see it. And Jan, I don't know if I have a card for that up there or not, but it's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's the last words that Jesus spoke. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups." Okay? Don't leave anybody behind. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." That means obedience, okay? Opposed to lawlessness, okay? And he says, "And I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Now, Simon took this message all over, wherever he went from that point forward. And again, he went to Egypt and then ended up in Persia. You might have started out the same way. But after encountering Jesus and being filled with his Holy Spirit, are you still more concerned about the politics of the day? Or are you more concerned about forward in the kingdom of God, where there's eternal changes, where men's hearts are radically changed, not only for God, but for their brother? They become lovers of God and lovers of all men. Okay? If you're a Christian, you have this citizen mandate. We just read it. Okay? That's how you are going to radically change the men of this age. It's not changed in a couple thousand years. The focus needs to be Jesus Christ. The worship team, you can come on up and we'll get ready for communion. Now, I just want to remind you, folks, it's late. We need to be about the kingdom's business. We don't have time to be sidetracked in worldly temporary issues. We need to be good soldiers of Christ to the very end. Only Jesus can make a real difference and change for eternity. Now, one last point. One thing I want, if you don't walk away with anything except this, then I've been successful. And this is what I want to say. And I hope you haven't taken this study wrong. I am not saying to disengage from the culture, just the opposite. I want you to be engaged in the process, but have eternal goals of preaching the gospel and making disciples for the kingdom of God. Do the work of eternal salvation. Okay? Be engaged with this culture and this society. But be a light. Take the gospel message to them. Have wisdom as you approach people in this situation, because you remember, you don't want to throw pearls to pigs, right? You got to be careful who you talk to. You got to have wisdom in this time of who you're going to come alongside of. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I pray for our country. I pray for our church, our community, Lord. I pray that we would really wrap our hearts, that all of our heart would be just totally focused on your mission and your goal of eternal salvation. Help us to be lights in this dark world. Help us to be bold and courageous and take the gospel to the dying world, Lord, while we still have time. Help us to redeem the time, Lord, to make every minute and second count as we talk to family members and people in our community and neighbors, Lord. And as these discussions come up about this activities of this past week, Lord, may we truly have hearts to be 100% steered in the direction of eternal salvation and speak on your behalf about your kingdom and your will and for true peace and true justice, which can only come from you, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen.